Hello, this is Molly Blaisdell, and you're listening to Conmigo.
Welcome to Conmigo!
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Conmigo. I'm Sarah, and I'm really glad you guys are all back with us today. I'm very excited about the author we have on today to read with us. Her name is Molly Blaisdell, and she's going to be sharing her book, Rembrandt and the Boy Who Drew Dogs, a story about Rembrandt van Rijn. And I'm very excited to hear this story today with Molly. So, Molly, you want to let us know a little bit about this book you're going to be reading?
Well, my book is a historical fiction picture book. It's about something that really happened in the real world, about a father who was a famous painter and his son who wanted to paint.
Awesome. That sounds super exciting. I know a lot of our listeners enjoy painting as well as myself. So, woo, guys, this is going to be exciting. If you have the book in front of you, make sure you open it up and get ready to enjoy the story with us. Follow along as Molly reads. And also, think of what you're picturing in your mind, too, because that's what artists do. They have a lot of what they create coming from their minds. So, Molly, if you'd like to get started, we're ready to listen, guys. Sit back, relax, and follow along.
Rembrandt and the Boy Who Drew Dogs, a story about Rembrandt van Rijn by Molly Blaisdell. One warm summer morning, a man waited for his son outside of a fine house in Amsterdam. "Titus, hurry," the man called. "I'm coming," a boy answered from inside. The door opened. Out came one small dog, then another and another. "Don't let Zelda out," the man said. "I won't." 8-year-old Titus snapped the door shut. Few people in Holland had a pet like Zelda. Their monkey would have to take a walk another day. Titus skipped down the steps. He spent most of his time with his nanny Hendricky. She was like a mother to him. His own mother had died, and his father was usually busy buying art treasures or painting. Today, Titus and his father were going for a rare Sunday walk. His father's name was Rembrandt van Rijn, the famous painter and etcher. Rembrandt smiled at him. "I plan to walk to my friend Jan's house," he strode down the street whistling. "Come on, Gus, Bobo, Dennis," Titus said, and hurried after his father. Soon they reached the city wall. His father stopped to sketch. Titus brought a pancake from a peddler. He pretended to watch the boats, but really studied his father's sketching. Titus dreamed of being an artist. His father didn't think he was old enough to learn, but Titus was determined. He peeked over his father's shoulder. Lines wiggled across the paper, and a view of the Amstel River appeared. "I'm going to do that," Titus thought. They walked on along a dike road, passing windmills. Rembrandt stopped to sketch a few more times. Titus and his dogs played, but Titus kept watching his father scribble, erase, and doodle. After a while, his father stopped drawing. "May I sketch?" Titus asked. "After lunch," Rembrandt said. "We're late and must hurry." They finally trudged across the bridge that led to Jan Six's house. Jan had lunch waiting, eel pie. Titus wrapped the pie in his napkin to take to his dogs. After the meal, Jan and Rembrandt began to talk. Titus sneaked outside with the pie. His dogs ate it with relish. Titus noticed his father's art satchel by the door. He took out several sheets of paper and a charcoal. He tried to draw Goose, but his lines were wobbly. His picture didn't look like a dog. He wandered back inside the house and in the library, found some of his father's artwork. One was an etching of the path that led to Jan Six's house. "I bet I could copy that one," Titus thought. He lifted the etching. "Titus, what are you doing?" His father stood at the door. "You said I could sketch after lunch." "Put the frame back," Rembrandt said. "You shouldn't have touched Jan's things without asking." Titus's face burned. He bit back his words. He wasn't a baby. That evening after supper, his father came into his room. "This paper was expensive," Rembrandt said. "You'll spend an hour each week for a month cleaning my studio." After his father left, Titus said to Hendricky, "He didn't even look at my drawings." "He's angry, but loves you," Hendricky said. "He'll notice your drawing sometime." Once a week, Titus swept the studio and tried to straighten the stacks of papers. Goose Bobo and Dennis kept him company. Zelda was no help at all. One day, while Titus was sweeping, he heard many footsteps in the hall. Goose, Bobo, Dennis, Zelda, we must hide. Titus, Zelda, and his dogs hid behind a statue. They didn't make a sound as his father began a painting session with his apprentices. We'll work on our portraits today, Rembrandt said. Remember, nothing is ugly. Do not be afraid to draw exactly what you see. Bring out the beauty of the natural world. Titus peeked at his father's painting. The girl seemed to glow with life. Oh, he wished he could paint like that. Later, Titus noticed Zelda. Zelda, no! Titus shouted. Titus, take your dogs and Zelda out. Rembrandt pointed at the door. At dinner time, his father said, this month you will spend an hour each week tidying my artist cabinet. You start tomorrow. Hendricky rubbed Titus's back. The next day, Rembrandt took Titus to his cabinet. Inside the room, Rembrandt stored his private art collection and reference materials. He gave Titus a dust rag and Titus began to work. That is until he noticed boxes of charcoals and a bin of scrap paper. He couldn't resist and began to sketch the lion's skin in the corner. All month, Titus cleaned the cabinet and spent some time sketching, keeping his drawings hidden. One day, Hendricky called him to the kitchen for cookies. Titus left his drawings out and the cabinet door ajar. When he got back, he found his father and a disaster of scattered drawings. Did you draw these? Rembrandt asked. Yes, Titus said, shaking. This is good work, his father said. I can't get the face right, Titus stammered. You need training, his father said. We'll start tomorrow. Titus was speechless. Are you going to help me clean up this mess? Rembrandt asked. Titus nodded and grinned. Later, his father set up a small desk for Titus in the corner of the studio. It will help if you copy my work, Rembrandt said. Titus worked for a couple of weeks before he made a first-rate copy. Next, Titus sketched the lion's skin. His drawing was accurate, but Titus knew it lacked something. Still, his father seemed pleased. Tomorrow, we'll sketch from life, Rembrandt said. The next morning, Titus asked, what are we going to sketch? Follow me, Rembrandt said. Bring your dogs and Zelda. Titus followed his father to the town square. He laughed when he saw a traveling zoo was in town. With quick strokes, his father drew a lion. Titus tried to draw it, but the shading didn't look right, even when his father helped him with the nose. You'll create the drawing you want, Rembrandt said. Keep practicing. On the walk home, Rembrandt hugged Titus's shoulder. You seem so happy today, Titus said. I have good news, Rembrandt said. Jan Six has commissioned a new portrait. We've had many bills lately and no one's been buying my artwork. They say it's too dark and depressing. Don't worry, Titus said. No one can create art like you. It's shadow and light. People will realize this. I know it. How do you know? Rembrandt asked. You're my father. Titus hugged him. You are full of light. For weeks, Titus practiced his drawing. Christmas came and the new year rang in. Finally, 12 days after Christmas, his father came in the studio. No more drawing tonight is the epiphany, his father said. Why aren't you getting ready? I'm too old to sing and beg for coins, Titus said. The Epiphany was a special holiday that Dutch children celebrated. An apprentice from his father's art school always carried the star lantern. All the children in the neighborhood pretended to be the three wise men. They went from house to house singing songs and begging coins. But you're not too old to hold the star, his father said. No, Titus answered. I'm not too old. A few weeks later, Titus helped an apprentice in the printing room. Titus carefully hung a damp print. The shading and light showed the star just as it had been. He could feel the warmth of the lantern and taste the icy bite of winter air from the Epiphany. Titus called Goose, Bobo, and Dennis into the studio. His pen flew against the page. When he was finished, he looked at his picture. His dogs weren't perfect, but his careful shading caught just the way their noses wrinkled and the warm light in their eyes. They looked real. His father lifted his drawing. "You've done it," he said. Titus flushed with pleasure. "I couldn't have without you." Several years later, Rembrandt called Titus into his studio. Titus was 15. He was a full-fledged apprentice now in his father's workshop. "Titus, sit for me," his father said. "I want to paint your portrait." Titus sat at his desk in the corner of the studio like he used to. These days, he was busy helping sell his father's artwork. Titus was glad to sketch for a while. Rembrandt showed Titus the painting. "I look like a little boy," Titus said. "You will always be that boy to me," his father said. "A boy who drew dogs." Titus never became a famous artist, but he did open an art shop when he was older. And he was right about people wanting his father's work. People everywhere love Rembrandt's artwork. He is known as the great master of shading and light. And he has inspired artists all over the world. Rembrandt is considered one of the most famous painters who has ever lived. Though he wasn't wealthy when he died, today just one of his paintings is worth millions of dollars. And Rembrandt painted over 500 during his lifetime. Rembrandt van Rijn is so famous that to this day, people everywhere know Rembrandt by his first name only. The end.
That is a wonderful story, Molly. Thank you so much for reading that with us.
Thank you for having me on.
Yeah. So I know that Titus was really excited to learn from his father, and it sounds like both of them really worked together. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about the message behind this story.
Well, I think there are a few messages behind the story. One is that sometimes it's not always easy with your parents. You might argue sometimes, you might disagree sometimes, but you take time and you work it out by talking to each other and not reacting and, you know, with angry words, but listening and working through their problems. And I like that about the story. I also like that it takes hard work to become an artist. I think that's another message of this story. And one of the most important things about what artists need to do is to keep their space clean, to pick up after themselves. These are surprising things, but I worked in artist studios and my mom was a professional artist. And this was one of the most important lessons to her. It's always an important lesson. It teaches you discipline. And I think that the last message, which is the most important one, is that just keep trying and you'll find success.
Yes, that is a wonderful message. That's a great one to remember. Thank you so much for reading that today. Do you have any other books that you'd like to talk about with us today, or any new upcoming books?
Well, I am a writer and an illustrator, and my most recent book is called The Princess of Serendip, and it was written by an author called Allison Aspey, but I'm the illustrator for that book. I'm also the author of The 12 Days of Christmas. Well, I'm the illustrator of The 12 Days of Christmas Starring the Chickens, but I'm the author and illustrator of another book called Chickens Do Not Take Over Halloween. And you might see a ongoing theme that I like holidays a lot.
Yeah, those are great celebrations.
They sneak into all my stories.
Yeah, I think we all love holidays. They're so fun.
Yeah, it's like a just say party and I'm there.
Cute. I'm really excited to read the ones about the chickens taking over. Don't take over Halloween.
Do not take over Halloween. They do not.
They do not. Don't let those chickens in there. Oh, yeah. That sounds like a good one. We'll definitely have to check that one out, too. Well, okay. I really appreciate this. Also, are you ready to answer some questions from some kids?
Yes, I would love to answer questions from kids.
Okay, so we have two, and, you know, they are toughies.
Okay, tough.
All right, here we go. Ready? So, what was your favorite thing to paint as a kid?
Okay, I You remember those chickens that I was just talking about? Okay, I'm more of a drawer than a painter. So I have been drawing chickens all my life in the edges of my notebooks, on the bottoms of letters I've written. Anywhere I am writing, chickens show up.
Oh, those are good animals to draw. I wonder how many of our listeners like drawing chickens. I don't know.
Yes.
That's a good thing to think about.
I'm going to sneak in here that my second favorite was horses.
Oh, those are a favorite, I think, too, for many, many kids. Horses are winners, for sure.
Yeah, so unicorns, too, I think. But that's not a horse, but it's kind of like a horse.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a special one. It's like the best horse.
Yeah.
For sure.
No, it's a unicorn, so.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So our second question is, what was your favorite painting, or what is your favorite painting, and why?
That is like asking me a very hard and difficult question. So I'm gonna give you a two-part answer. First,
okay.
I'm going to say that my favorite drawing by Rembrandt Van Rijn is a picture of him making a crazy face.
Ooh.
So you just go out there, Rembrandt making a crazy face.
Yeah.
He was always drawing all these serious paintings, but he drew this one painting where he's just making this, like, stick out his tongue, cross his eyes, crazy face. And I love that drawing.
Yes.
Because it tells me something about him that I didn't know. Okay. And then my favorite piece of art. There's so many pieces, so many places.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to pick a drawing, and I really, this is strange, but I'm going to go with Andy Warhol.
Mm-hmm.
It's a strange choice.
Yeah. He has some good stuff.
Okay. The reason I do go with it is because I didn't understand his art. I would see pictures of like soup cans and like books and stuff, and I didn't understand. And I would look at it and I would be like, this is a picture of us. Looks like exactly like a soup can. I don't understand why this is art.
Uh-huh.
And I was able to go to New York City and go to the MoMA, which is the Museum of Modern Art in New York City. And there they have his Campbell soup cans. But the way he drew them in their displays, there's a giant wall of Campbell soup cans. And when you come around the corner, all of a sudden I felt like a little kid walking in a supermarket, seeing a wall of soup cans. And it made me laugh. I laughed so hard I sat down, and I was like, well, that did not come across until I saw it for real. So I'm going to put that down as my favorite.
Wow. Yeah, that's a good one. And you know, that's kind of inspiring too for our kids. Like, if you see a work of art, take it in and then maybe see what you think when you see it again in a different setting, because sometimes that changes what you see.
Right, because I didn't understand it. So sometimes art is trying to tell you something. It might not be something with words, but something in your heart, something, a feeling it's trying to tell you that. And sometimes I don't always see it, but it's when but that moment was really big for me, and I loved it. It was a great moment in my life. It felt like a gift from that Andy Warhol to me.
Oh, that's wonderful. You know, that makes me think that we should have our listeners encourage them to go check out that painting. If you can, guys, ask your parents to help you find an image of Andy Warhol's soup can painting and see what you think about it. That's really great. Well, thank you so much, Molly, for reading with us today. That was really exciting, and that was a really wonderful story.
Awesome. I appreciate you having me out.
Thank you. And I also want to say thank you to Albert Swantner, our producer, Richard Reiniger, our sound editor, and Jessica Jackson, our designer. And thanks to all you readers. Come read with us again on Conmigo.
Welcome Conmigo.